Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it nearly didn't happen. I've been out for an absolutely gorgeous lunch today, thanks to Nick, who bought me lunch at Fazenda, which is like an Argentinian steakhouse. But I am suffering from a touch of overindulgence. So if I say to these guys, pan, throw it out, it's because I just need an extra few minutes. Joining me, absolutely stellar bunch. And Jeff's not here. He's looking after his good lady. Well wishes to Angela and hope that she gets well soon. It's nothing to worry about. It's just routine from what I understand, but get well. Joining me, my brother from Hawaii, who's done his Max Headroom impression and now stopped. Dot Rock.
What's happening?
What's on, man? What's on? Word. What's on? What's going off? What's happening in the islands?
We might get locked down again because really? It's summer and beach and people can't control them damn selves. Yeah. So we had like our worst ever like days, like 3 days in a row. It's kind of crazy. And it started because, of course, you know, everyone wants to send their kids back to school because they're sick of their kids. But these are the same people that when the teacher calls you and tells you that your kid's being a dick, they go, "No, Mikey's a wonderful child. He's so well behaved. Can you please take this jerk back to school?" And then, so yeah, that's what happened.
Yep. Yeah. No, I've never been overwhelmed by my own children's infallibility. I do know them for what they are, but they're good kids too. That's good, mate. We were talking about Hawaiian ghosts a minute ago, and you said there's one in the studio with you.
Oh yeah, guarantee.
Was he on time?
Absolutely. No, that dude's never on time.
That 10-hour, 20-minute time difference that you guys have for us is amazing, mate. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, go on. You can call me that name. It's fine. Next to him, it's Callum from IMN Max.
Hello.
The man who is valiantly trying to save a drive for my landlord with a stick of footage on it. But
it's valiantly losing at the moment, unfortunately.
So far, it's not going well.
Yeah. No, we're giving it our best try, but... It keeps making anything we plug it into shut down randomly. So
was it on the show last week where I said about the backup? Where's your backup? And he said, "You're holding it." No. So where's the other footage then? No, you're holding the only footage I got. Well, it's not a backup then, it's an original.
Yeah. So, yeah.
No. Yeah, no. Thanks, mate. Is it hot there? Or have you got the back door open?
I have the fan on. It's 25 degrees. It's been hotter this week, much hotter, about 33. Yeah. Wednesday, I think, was the worst one, definitely. I couldn't sleep. It was so hot, which, yeah, not the nicest, but
no,
it's cooling down now. It's less
ceiling
humid
fan.
As well.
You've got to get a ceiling fan in the bedroom always.
Okay. I'll bear it in mind, definitely.
Next thing, Patrice, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Looks hot and sunny there.
It is definitely hot and sunny. I had the same issue as Callum yesterday. Last night I couldn't sleep at all. It was just hot, too hot.
Yeah.
Hot and really humid. Like, I mean, it's like, 25, 30 degrees at night still and like 70% humidity or something.
Yeah, not good.
And it's like, it's just
horrid. Hot.
Yep.
As long as you're well, mate. All that matters.
Yeah.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Joyner.
Still, how are you, sir?
I'm all right, sir. Still enjoying the tireless phase of the summer. Not back full at the office and...
No, we don't know when we're going back. You know, every time we set a date, it says, you know, well, maybe we'll just wait a few more weeks. So, mate. But I did bring something for you, Ewan. I did bring something.
That always fills me with fear. Oh, dude, is that my one iron? A Ben Hogan one iron.
Right there.
When did you like that's a Ben Hogan? It's not just that. It's a bladed one iron.
It's, that thing is tough to hit, but it feels so good when you do.
I would probably have more luck hitting a chisel than that.
Yep. I thought about you when I pulled it out last weekend and was hitting it. And it's like, yeah, I got to bring this.
Oh, have you been hitting it? This.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, sure.
Oh, mate. Well, one day you and I will play golf. And I will have a go with that.
I hope so.
You might have to stick a mid-size grip on it for me, but no, that's a gorgeous club, mate. My dad's got some. He's left-handed though, so it doesn't work. Yeah, he's got some gorgeous old clubs, but he's left-handed. Damn.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm left-handed
yesterday
too.
Cutting off all of my grips.
Did you?
Yeah.
I spent yesterday playing. I loved it. I played really, really well.
It looks so easy on YouTube. I should have just gave it to the guys at Roger Dunn.
Oh, I did my own gripping. Dead easy. Just get the alcohol in the grip and shake it around and then lay it over the grip tape and shove.
We have an air compressor, 125-gallon air compressor in the shop, so I figure it's easy because you can just blow the air while you push it on.
No.
But actually taking the old ones off is a pain in the butt. The on part, I think, will be okay.
Just got to cut the old ones off and then strip the tape and then pull that off and then... I'll give you a lesson after because it's this Mac show.
Yeah. What are you putting on, Doc? I gotta know if you took them off. What are you putting on?
I haven't figured it out yet. But I just saw some dry grip pros or whatever from Roger Dunn that looked
pretty
cool.
They're
orange.
Right. Biggest tip I've got for you boys. Don't spend a fortune on grips. Buy the stuff that you get off eBay that is $30 for 13 or 14 grips. Re-grip them all and do it again in 5-6 months. And the grips will actually last just as long as all the others. And just don't pay much for grips. It's a waste of money.
Yeah, they're like $40.
Yeah.
So that's right.
That's
all
right.
The Hawaii tax.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But you get ones that are like some of the other grips and they're like $10 a grip and you just no. That's a waste of money because they don't last any longer. So
well, especially here, the humidity is ridiculous.
I've always done all my own re-gripping. Always done it. Mm-hmm. Right, moving on, Mac Show. This week in golf, followed by the Mac Show. We can't ignore this. And like I said, looking around the panel, I'm well aware that there's only one person here who's probably of the right age for this. And even he had to consult his brother, apparently, for the update. Apple has removed Fortnite from the App Store. And Epic, who make Fortnite, have now filed a lawsuit against Apple for that removal. And hot on the heels of that, immediately that Apple had done it, Google did it from the Play Store as well, so now Epic are suing Google, and now Spotify have waded in as well because I think they've got a bit of a vested interest in the outcome of this. So it all centres around the fact that Fortnite put a button in their software that paid them direct and completely bypassed Apple's payment system. So they took it out.
And the way they did it, I mean... That this was planned. Like, this was not an accident or like a bug or whatever.
Oh, no. There's a line you can actually see on it. It says pay Apple, play direct to. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they put the code in, but like didn't or like remotely activated it. So it like App Review couldn't even see it, apparently. And like the lawsuit came out so fast that this was totally prepared. They had like they activated the code and had the lawsuit ready. For Google as well, apparently. So,
yeah.
Because like they filed it like within minutes after that. So they basically announced it. Like it wasn't even like secretly enabling it or whatever and other people found out. No, they announced it and basically touted Apple and Google with it. So this was planned. This was like a PR stunt, really. I mean...
Do they need the PR?
Well, no, because if you think about it now, you've got a group of probably 10 to kind of 15, 20 odd year olds who now think Apple are horrible, Google are horrible, and they think Epic Games are fantastic. So that's what they've done. It is purely for their own PR.
I mean, my perspective, at least for the moment, they could only win. The timing is right, and I mean, there were just two outcomes: either Google or Apple would just ignore it, or allow it, or like just not do anything because of the current climate of investigations and so on, and then Epic would make more money or like get people off the other platforms basically, and then they can increase prices later on, or what happened right now happened, and then they could just file a lawsuit and like take advantage of that. So like, I mean, for them it was like a no-brainer.
The way that the splash screen was done as well, though, it said pay Apple $9.99, mm-hmm. pay us $7.99, and it's like that's clearly saying you're giving $2 to Apple and you're getting nothing for it, and that's mm-hmm. kind of I think that that's morally reprehensible because it's
absolute.
Like yeah no this is I'm quite happy giving Apple grief when they're due it, but mm-hmm. you if you sell, it's like selling a loaf of bread in a store and then only giving the money to the baker and nothing to the store.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Same thing I said when we hashed it out the week you were missing.
Mm-hmm. And it is a little bit disingenuous as well, because, I mean, they did, like, it was exactly the, or almost exactly the 30%. But that's only for the first year. Like, it's a subscription. So in the second year, like, the reduced, like, you would even get a reduced price. So it's, I mean, technically correct for the first year. You, like, I mean, Epic gets a third less from their price, so they can offer a reduced price if they, like, if they offer their own payment solution. But it's not really true, because they still have to pay the payment fees and so on. So it was a marketing thing, very clearly.
Yeah, definitely. A huge PR stunt, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your point about, you know, the bread is a perfect one. Why does, I mean, Apple sets the price. They don't have to be on the App Store if they don't want to, you know, but they choose, and then they choose to violate the guidelines blatantly, and then Patrice, I'm with you. You know, this was set up so rapid fire that they had to know what was coming, and so they decided to play the game. And then to have Spotify and some of the others jump in right on top of it, to me, just makes them accomplices. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. You know, if they don't want to be in the store, then get out of the store and do your own marketing and figure out a way to make your game available to the jailbreak community. But, you know, you can't have the benefits of being in the store and not pay for it.
The we had an instance a while ago now where someone did a show for us, and they decided that they were going to leave the network, which is fine. You know, I was here under duress. But they took the music that we were using and all of the formatting that we were doing, and they just started their own podcast, and it was exactly the same. And I was like, well, I felt a bit bad because the person that had done it had written the music for us, but it was like, that was our corporate identity. That was the thing that we were pushing out as our show. Mm-hmm. And to then duplicate that and expect all the listeners to just suddenly go over to you. And on the last show, they told everyone where they were going and where they could find them. They set it all up. So I didn't post the last show. And then I wrote to Apple and said, this is a clear breach of our copyright. And I sent them an example of the listing. Took down all of the old shows as well, apart from the one that I sent to Apple as an example. Literally, without even talking to me, Apple just wiped their podcast off. That was it. It was gone. Mm. And it was literally... an hour later, 2 hours later, it was gone completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, hang on. You know, I wanted them to change it. I didn't want to completely, you know, break their podcast. And the guy that wrote back to me from Apple said, we're just a directory. We're not interested in entering into any part of a copyright dispute. If you say it's a breach of your copyright, it's down to YouTube to resolve, and we won't put it back until you say that it's resolved to your satisfaction. And there's no being right or being wrong in it. So if I allege it, they just take it off. So anyone could allege that there was a breach of copyright for our shows. They would get taken off iTunes, and I would have to justify that they weren't. The first action is to remove you. Simple as that. And if there's people out there who've got an idea for it, that's fine. You go ahead. Try and take us off.
but it's you, and it sounds like you gave them some examples, you know, that you laid out your case, and... Yeah. They looked at it and said, yep. So what I heard in the story was not them just taking your accusation. It took, they took the material you gave them, made a judgment
into it. Yeah. But the thing is that the Apple runs a directory. That's all it sees itself as. And if you're in breach of the requirements of that directory, it just deletes you. There is nothing else. And that's what they've done here. You know, this criteria is required. You have breached this criteria. Off you go. And now they're going to say, oh, yeah, but you have to sell us in your store. This goes into the kind of, you know, you have to let gay people stay at your breakfast, bed and breakfast, or your hotel. It's that kind of, I have an entitlement to be in your store because I make computer games. And no, you really don't. I'm sorry.
I mean,
yeah, I don't think people understand that. I really don't think people understand that. And, I mean, we kind of run into this... even in the physical world right now, about people thinking that, you know, they have some right to go into a store. And I'm like, the first sign at every single store is like, don't block the exit, and we refuse the right to refuse service to anyone. And because it's on private property, like, it's not a school or a library or some other public thing where public people are paying for it. they're private companies, so they can like not let you in if for whatever reason they want, you know. Yeah. It's up to you to then go to the ACLU and then try to prove that, you know, you've been discriminated upon because you're wearing a camouflage Hawaii hat or whatever your protected class is. But most people don't understand that. They think that they just have a right to do so. And it's very similar to that even with in the software game. Like, they don't have to let your app in. I mean, if they really wanted to, they could comb down and get you for predatory practices for, you know, trying to sell kids upgrades, which is a really horrible fight to get in because most parents will tend to agree with you. Apple's lawyers could go after they're doing some game theory that's quite addicting and can cause anxiety and other problems. So, like, Apple can fight back dirty and get you just because you wanted to be a wank and not pay them, you know, that 30% for the 1 year. And if Epic likes to play like they're the poor victims in this case, check out their finances over the last couple of years. They're not poor victims by any way, shape, or form. No. They're not Apple, but they're not hurting. Trust you me. They can open. Yeah.
Oh, Epic is billions and billions.
I wanted to bring up, like, this is something. Epic has a store, and the Epic store has a revenue split. It's like 12% or something. So they're kind of complaining about something that they're
I didn't know that.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, wow. It's really funny. I mean, every platform like Steam, like Epic Games, like all of them, they have a split. Like, I mean, you can argue about the percentage, and I'm open to that. But everybody does it, and I think it also makes sense that you have at least some payment of some sort.
Well, and if I think I'm right, the week that Ewan was not here, you know, as you said, we debated some of this, and we said that, you know, somebody like Amazon, I mean, they are so big that maybe they can do a negotiation for some kind of sweetheart deal. And that's the way the world works. And so, you know, you have to wonder how big is Epic and, you know, were they big enough to approach and did they and got rejected or did they just, you know, fly off the handle with this the way it looks?
Yeah. I mean,
there's got to be a payoff. There's got to be a payoff in that, Chuck, which is about your required to do less, you're required to not hold as much server space, there'll be a downtime in the number of cycles that we take on the platform away from everything. You know, the sweetheart deals have got to have some constituent elements that reduce the load on Apple, and Epic isn't doing that. Epic is just, you know, throwing its teddy in the corner here, I think.
I was
going to say that Amazon is probably helping out with cloud services of some sort of redundant backup for iCloud. Maybe even, you know, some sign of connection for media services. You know, Amazon has something that they can offer in order to get that deal. You know, Epic cannot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the first thing was that they offered Amazon like Prime on Apple TV and so on. Like that was part of the deal, and we know that now.
No, there is. Sorry, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to mention, this could also be the end of a negotiation. Basically that Apple and Epic were negotiating, but they couldn't agree on a deal. And then Epic just decided to this and maybe get the deal. Mm.
There is one person's input that I really desperately do want over everyone else here. And that's Callum's little brother.
Oh, yes.
What's he said?
I think this kind of chimes in quite well with what you were saying about Apple potentially playing Dirty. So he's got a bit of a love-hate relationship with it. So he plays it very much because lots of his friends do. And he gets really frustrated and gets made angry by it. So, he's very black and white in the way he thinks. So we were having a talk about it this morning and I went, well, Fortnite, Epic Games aren't paying their cut to Apple for using their shop. And he went, oh, that's wrong. I'm never going to play Fortnite again. So he's probably not the best person to take an example.
He's got an ulterior motive as well. He was going to give up soon anyway.
Yes, I think he was, yeah. But a lot of his friends are very much, you know, kind of angry that Apple have taken Fortnite off their iPad and sort of stuff like that. And that's the mentality of a lot of these kind of kids who are playing it and stuff. So I think that's probably where Epic Games are trying to come from, that there's going to be such a backlash that they end up giving them what they want, which Apple won't do because that's not how Apple do things. But
there is a positive in some of that, because the one of the things that I've noticed with Ellis, he plays Fortnite. He used to play it a lot. He doesn't play it so much now. But he shouts and swears at it and tells people what
exactly,
you know, what to do and what's wrong with their parents' relationship. And it's quite unpleasant, some of the things he gets into.
It's horrible.
And it is utter frustration. But the override, having played the game with him, the overriding, I'm not saying the emotion, but the overriding action in there from every player that's on it is spite. It is dog eat dog, and even though you're on the same team, you are on a team. So Ellis was climbing, he was a way off, and he wanted to launch into a different area and pull out the jump thing and put, there's a thing. So he's climbing up this thing, and he's not, because he's so far away from the opposition, he's not building the reinforcing structures as he goes up. He's just building a flight to get up to height, to drop down this thing and then bounce off. He gets up to near the top. One of his team shoots the bottom layer out from the thing. He falls down on the ground and dies, and they come up and steal all his gear. And that is the mentality of Fortnite epitomized. And that's the problem.
Yeah, it's horrible. And, you know, you saying about your son shouting and screaming, that's exactly what we get here with my little brother. And it's my mom hates it. My mom hates the game with a passion because of how it makes him and how it makes him act and how
it
makes him.
It's not violence. The thing doesn't make Ellis violent. It makes him frustrated.
Yeah, just ridiculously frustrated and angry with the game.
Yeah.
Like I said, when Apple goes to them and says your gameplay is just a thing that causes kids to be a certain type of way, like, they're not going to get any sympathy from the parents. They're not going to get much sympathy from the media. They're only going to get sympathy from Spotify. And what's funny is this is the one year where maybe Spotify shouldn't have pulled this card, because this is the only year in that probably, when did Spotify come to the U.S.? Like 10 years ago, I've had Spotify Premium the entire time. And this is the first year where it really started being a punk and not working all the time and having tracks, you know, to just sound horrible, or these disgustingly fake karaoke tracks that show up as the real name of the song you're looking for, and they show up first, and there's just a bunch of mess. And then so a bunch of the DJ software got rid of Spotify, because Spotify says now they don't want to allow third parties to pull their tunes. So my particular software, the algorithm guys, they gave us 6 months of tidal. And I don't know how this happened, but Sleepy Tidal has eclipsed Spotify in the amount of songs that they have. Their curation has gotten much better. Their quality always been better, because that was their point. Their point was to come from a sort of a high fidelity standpoint. And so Spotify is like, oh, I'm going to go pile on this lawsuit. But girl, you're looking a little ugly to be trying to stand at the prom talking about pick me.
Sorry. The thing is, you know, right, that there is a whole part, and this is the world over, there is a kid in its chosen language going to its mother or father and going, they've pulled Fortnite from my iPad, I can't play it anymore, and wailing and crying, and that mother or father pulling them in close, stroking their head and going, oh, they're there, darling, they're there, and then looking up to their chosen deity and going, thank you, thank you.
Yes. But you know, the one thing we mentioned it earlier, but then we sort of slid away, that Google did it just a few hours later. They pulled Fortnite, and yet Apple seems to be the one that, at least, and I haven't read that much coverage.
No, the hate is pretty evenly spread.
Is it okay? Good.
From what I've seen, yeah.
That's not right. Good, but you know, it's just like, okay. Epic is out of line, and here are both Apple and Google, you know, calling them on it.
Yeah. I mean, the big difference is, like, Fortnite can still be somehow installed on Android, whereas on iOS it's gone. There's, I mean, no easy way to get it back, and that's what Google actually pointed out, but they also said, I mean, you're in clear breach of the Play Store terms, so you're gone.
Yeah, I think it's a de facto set of rules. You sign up to it. There you go. See ya. Off you go, boys. And I think it's incredibly wrong if any judge comes down and says, you can't do that, Apple, that is, or Google. Mm. Big mistake. Big mistake. Next big story has got to be our mates at SetApp have trolled out SetApp iOS. Good on you, Maria and the team.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yes.
There has been
a little bit of a controversy.
Oh, go
attached
on.
To this. There was like in the face. There's a Facebook group for SetApp users, and there was a little bit of a discussion, and they posted some like a comment on it that they're going to review it. Because SetApp also changed the pricing model and it didn't communicate it. Previously it was, I think the first like $10 a month gave you 2 seats. And now it gives you 1 by default. Like the old accounts, like the old plans still have it. It's grandfathered in, it works, but you have to be careful because if you change to, I don't know, yearly pricing or anything else, it actually changes you to the new plan. And they did not announce that. And they said they're going to review it.
I think they've got to review that because I think one of the things that makes SetApp great is the fact that I've got a laptop and a desktop and I can duplicate the applications and particularly the ones where there is an interaction there, where there's a cross database, et cetera, or a cross flow of information. That's crucial to me. And I love having that two instances, and the sensible firms are doing that, aren't they? I mean, if you look at, if you look at Adobe, you know, you can stick Adobe Suite on 2 devices, you get 2 devices for your license. It's not 2 users, it's 1 user on 2 devices, which I think is essential.
As a minimum, I'd say, with kind of most packages like that.
I can understand. They started out with, I think, what was it, like 60 apps, and now they have like way more,
200 and something. So
I can totally understand that they have to look at their business model and see that like it's also worth for the developers and all of that. Otherwise, the platform is going to lose.
But there's got to be a critical point, isn't there? There's a critical point of analysis where you say, right, actually 80% of people aren't going to buy a second subscription. They're just going to be pissed off. And actually, for not much effort, we're clearly going to have a lot of satisfied customers who will keep their subscriptions running. But long term, the goal's got to be there for that. It'd be interesting. Exactly. It's a shame we haven't got Maria on here, because it would be nice to have got her reaction to that. Because, again, the real problem that you get with this kind of story is that you sit there and speculate about what the reasoning may be or what the driver behind it is, and you're probably going to find out it's completely innocent.
I said, it was, for the most part, the lack of communication. Like, people accidentally stumbled into it or, like, saw it. So I think that was a bit of a problem, and they acknowledged that. Like, there's a big post. I mean, a big post that basically says we're not changing anything yet, and we're gonna come back with an answer later.
Yeah.
But at least there is a, like, they acknowledge that this is something that's happening.
And that's one of the reasons I know that I've in the past I've gone and I've looked at buying an app from a developer and buying an app on the App Store. And I would always prefer to support the developer, you know, and pay them more money. But if they're going to give me 1 license or 1 seat, as opposed to going over and buying it at the App Store, where I'm going to have an automatic license for every machine that I log in with, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, you know. So I'm sorry, you're costing yourself money by giving me less. That doesn't make sense to me.
No, not absolutely right.
You know. So, you know, I think developers need to, you know, they need to think about, I understand how they're thinking about it. I think they need to, though, understand how the consumer looks at it. Because you know, and listen, I have no problem paying for extra licenses if I need them. It's more the convenience factor. That's just, gee, I'm not licensed on this machine, but I'm licensed on that machine. And you know, now I got to stop what I'm doing and go figure it out.
I like the way that Adobe does it. It's not really even 2 machines. It's 2 concurrent uses. So, for instance, someone in my situation where just in this room alone, there's 5 Macs. I have my PC at the laser, 1 other PC at the CNC. And what happens with the subscription on Adobe is I can use any 2 of them at the same time. It's not even that I can only install it on 2 machines, because that would require lots of install, uninstall, install, install, or it would be way more expensive. I'd have to buy 1 for every stuff. And so I love the way Adobe does it. And there's a bunch of other software out there like that. You can have 2 running occurrences. Unfortunately, SetApp doesn't do that. But the other thing that I don't think a lot of people are talking about in the conversations as I was reading them, when I got the second iMac that's at the shop over there, like I really wanted to keep setup running because there's these utilities that you'll need that will help me in a pinch to fix something. And I think I paid like $4 a month extra to add a butt, you know, add a seat. And it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, it was very easy to just add a discounted seat to the already two that they give you. So, yeah, I hope they come up with, like, maybe an iOS special seat price or something. But it's still not expensive. It's such a value that if you had to buy another full-clip seat, so what? It's cheap.
I know it's not applicable before anyone writes in and tells me I'm an idiot. I know it's not applicable to setup because it's purely Mac, but one of the things that is great about Adobe is the fact that they'll even let you have those concurrent licenses across Windows and Mac. Yes. You're not just diving. Yes. You know, if you've got a Windows machine that's doing one thing with a laser printer, they'll still let you have your license on that.
That's driving me crazy about Corel, because I even contacted them and I asked them when they started to re-bring out Corel for Mac, which isn't fantastic or anything. But the laser likes Corel better than Illustrator, right? Yeah. So I have to make everything in Illustrator and then move it over the network, open it in Corel, and then print with it because it's just how the thing's set up. So when it said, oh, Corel Mac, I was like, oh, I could get rid of the PC. Great. You know, for the $300 a year you're charging me, can I get, you know, the Mac license? They're like, oh, no, you have to buy a separate one. I'm like, dude, you're not even close to Adobe. Adobe doesn't cost that much, and I can run it on everything, including my phone.
Have you tried
an iPad?
Have you tried the Scorchworks
software? You know what? I have to try that because it has to do with the way that they talk to the print.
I make an SVG in Illustrator, and then it's just on the network, and I just go to the laser. Open up the Scorchworks stuff and it reads the SVG natively anyway and it just prints it.
I'm going to have to try that out. Because, I've tried
to remember the name of the software.
Doesn't quite work.
For the life of me, I can't remember what it is.
So coming back to setup, one thing to keep in mind is you need an extra seat for the iOS version. So it's not included. You have to either have one of the old plans and have a seat available or you have to buy one. And that also caused some issues because some apps, that was never officially supported. And I think, on that side, I agree with setup. There were some apps like Ulysses, for example, that basically gave you the iOS version for free. If you had setup, basically they just activated it through their Mac app, which was never officially supported by setup. And now that they have setup on iOS, that is going away. So Ulysses, like if you don't buy setup on iOS or you don't buy a seat for that or you have a seat, then Ulysses on iOS is going to stop working for you end of this month. And I can understand that people are upset about that, but I'm with setup on that. That was never officially announced. That was never, as far as I've seen, never marketed that the iOS versions work as well. It was just something some developers decided to do.
I mean, surely they've got to do a discounted rate for an iOS-only seat or something like that. Surely
currently they're not.
No, a bit of a bolt-on or something like that. Mm. That would be the thing I'd think of anyway. But
I'll have a word with the connections at setup and see if they'll clarify for us when they know.
Yeah.
Callum, why would you... I'm not sure I get it. Why would you think there's got to be a discounted iOS seat?
Well, I think just a discount if you've already got it. So if you're already paying for setup and you've got the two connections or
you're talking
about
your friends and family kind of.
Yeah. If you still want the two for your Mac and then you want an additional one for iOS, it doesn't necessarily have to be cheaper, but I'd imagine it would be cheaper because there's less apps on it at the moment. So
that'd be nice. Yeah. And a lot of the apps are duplicated as well, so it's like Things that kind of stuff is on there and
Because I'd imagine I know I've certainly got it that I've got an iMac and I've got a MacBook and I have set up on both and I wouldn't want to give up one of those to have it on my phone necessarily, but I would like to be able to go. I'd like to have the iOS app and not lose
two thirds of the price for existing customers.
The extra seat is $4.99 or the new set up is family plan for $240 a year for three people. So that's six devices for $250.
Nope. It's three people with one device each.
Oh, okay. Ooh. All right. Mm-hmm.
All right. New plans are all one device per user. And then you can buy extra if you want to. So the $999.
Oh, so I just got the grandfathered in. Yeah, my extra seat's only $5.
I think you've got to be realistic of the fact that nearly everyone who's got an iPad has got an iPhone. So so there's a high probability that your greater customer base is going to want, you know, applications on phone and...
I don't know whether they differentiate on iOS between iPad and phone or whether you get both. I'm not sure about that.
And also the way I'd think as well, if you're downloading setup on your iOS device, you've got it on a Mac, so you're probably not going to want to lose that. Would be another thing I'd think about having like a cheaper iOS only seat.
I'm really cautious of not saying the wrong thing here, because the one thing that we've all learned from setup is that they are generous. You know, $9.99 a month, and they've gone from 69 apps to 193 that Windrider says, or maybe 203 or whatever it is that Marie said last week. You know, they've not charged any more for that extra set of applications as they've gone up, because each developer's only getting you know, that figured amount, isn't it? So,
and they've been well within their rights to charge more. And, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And that means, I mean, honestly, that is probably the reason why they're not going to do a discount for iOS, because the goal is not to, like, discount the iOS and say it's less, like, less powerful or has less apps. The goal is to have more apps on iOS.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I never thought of it that way, Red.
Yeah.
Well, and two things.
That makes sense.
Two things. First of all, I mean, you know, you're right. We all bought into SetApp when there were fewer apps. They've continued to add, but they haven't raised the price. I guess I'm not sure I agree. I see iOS, iPadOS, or iOS, but I see those as different platforms than the Mac. And so, therefore, I feel like it would be legitimate to charge. I mean, it would almost be like if SetApp developed something for Windows. Would I expect it to get the Windows version? God help us. Would I expect to get the Windows version for, you know, for the same, in the same bundle? And I kind of think the answer is no. So I'm seeing iOS differently than you guys. I respect what you're saying, and I kind of agree with you for those apps that, you know, have an iOS and a Mac component. But thinking from a SetApp standpoint about how they have to pay the developers, it just seems like it would be reasonable to say, okay, the iOS thing is a separate deal. Or we'd bundle it together and maybe have something better, but, you know, that would be still a price increase.
Yeah. I just double-checked the pricing page. So the new plans are, like, if you haven't, like, an old plan and you grandfathered in, $9.99 for one seat, or $8.99, like, if you pay annually. And the family plan gets you four seats for $20. So that's then $5. And if you need extra seats, up to four extra seats, you can get for $4.99. That's what Doc mentioned.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money, is it?
No. I mean, if you need,
we're sitting having a conversation over that, but
two, like $5 for four seats. You can go with the family plan because it gives you four.
That's what I was saying about how it's actually cheap, because I'm looking at mine. I'm still grandfathered in, but yeah, I get the two seats for $10, and I pay another $5 for the extra. And it's not even a question. And I remember when I first added it to the other computer in the house, like, why am I paying it? I think this is dumb, blah, blah, blah. And then now there's like three apps every day use, you know, and she's like, oh, this is so cool. I can just press this button. I go, uh-huh. Sometimes I know stuff.
Forklift, Downy, their daily uses.
Absolutely.
I am. Like, same here. So forklift is a daily.
There's so much good stuff. Constantly.
There's a load of Creative Commons stuff on YouTube. If you just bothered to think about your search terms that you can get down, that's, you know, a backdrop of such and such, or a cornfield or whatever. There's no end of stock footage.
You win. I did something this week. I made a YouTube, and I talked about resources for free stock footage.
I saw.
And wrote free clips. And I went through the list of the sort of the best of the best that's in the game. And there's a couple of wonderful guys out there. So I'll save it for the pick. But I'll hook you up with some good stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
And it's good for up and coming photographers trying to make a name for himself without some client, you know, bugging you on the exposure. You could do your own exposure.
No, there's some great stuff out there. You just got to know how to look for it and think about your search terms. And there's a lot of green screen back stuff as well that you can get. Yep. Type in green screen Halloween free backdrop and you'll get shitloads of stuff that you can just drop out. It's against feed green. Apple is launching discounted $9.99 per month for CBS All Access and Showtime bundle for Apple TV Plus subscribers. Now, I would love to think that I could quite happily part with $9.99 a month to Apple and get this, but I'm guessing it's geo-locked.
Yeah, probably.
Bastard.
Yep.
Showtime. Man, I just signed up for CBS All Access. I wonder if I'm going to automatically get it or if I have to quit and do it again. And the only reason why I did it is because Champions League went to CBS this year.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Are you in
and,
it?
You know, we made it, you know, so, skinny teeth. Hey.
Hold up. Yeah. You did?
Skinny teeth.
Not like Birmingham FC.
Finished 20th in the league below, yeah. Did really well this year.
And lost your star player.
Yeah, Jude Bellingham went to Dortmund.
And lost a shirt number.
And lost a shirt number, yeah. I've no doubt Joe is now furiously typing in the chat he's a Wolverhampton Wanderers fan.
Who did significantly better.
Yeah.
Come on, Joe, give it to him.
The question with that bundle is that the start of like a services bundle that Apple might offer in the fall? Like the first little like introduction of it.
You'd hope so.
Yeah, I mean,
you'd really hope so. Well, I just wish we could get rid of this geo stuff because we're in a global economy. Yes. I am fed up. And like the when you're talking about films, I totally get the geo thing with films because it's like, look, we need to have a premiere in London. We need to have a premiere in Los Angeles. We physically cannot be at both sites at the same time with all of the actors. Therefore, we are going to launch the film a week later in the UK than we are in the US. I totally get that. But when you're talking about TV stuff, it's just bollocks. There is no need for it at all.
And for blockbuster movies, it's like nowadays, oftentimes not even a week. Like they're doing like 3 premieres in 24 hours. I mean, which is probably crazy, but they're doing it like globally.
There's a lot of tired actors, but yeah, it's done.
Yeah, sure. They're doing it. So no, absolutely. I mean, I can tell you, I moved here from the US and I had some subscriptions, like I had CBS All Access because of like Star Trek stuff and so on. And I had a hard time even canceling them because I couldn't even get to the point where I could cancel it because even that page was geo-locked. Not a chance.
They're getting a bit wise to the tunnel bear thing, aren't they, as well? So.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, there are still some VPNs that work, but it's like a cat and mouse game. Like they block some and then like some other pops up and I've kind of given up.
A lot of what you do, if you're in a VPN, they just go, nope, sorry, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just know nowadays. I mean, with iOS apps, they can detect that you're on a VPN and otherwise they just block the data centers basically.
But the thing that really annoys me is that normally you've got a registered account anyway. And it's like Sky, if I go to, let's say I go on holiday to Africa and there's England versus South Africa on Sky TV and I want to watch it because I can't get it in Zambia where I am or something like that, then I'm paying my subscription. Why can't I watch it wherever I am in the world? As long as I can prove it's me, you know, give me a special code or, you know, give me some biometric way of proving it. That's fine. I get that. But come on, guys, I'm paying you 100 quid a month for me Sky TV. Why am I not getting what I'm asking for?
And you know why that's really more egregious, Ewan? It's called Sky TV. It's only one Sky. It encompasses the entire mother bad word circle. So yeah.
I don't think that's why they picked the title, but yeah. Chuck, you had something to say there.
Well, you know, just I think the obvious thing that, you know, it's not Apple or Sky TV or whatever that's controlling this stuff. It's the content owners. Yeah. And that's where I think some of what Apple's doing and the deals they're signing are going to be interesting to see if that is included in those deals or if when we see the next For All Mankind, you know, that or next series come out, is it going to be available globally? Because Apple will be the content owners. So will they continue to participate in this artificial, you know, these artificial boundaries? Or will they just say, if you subscribe to Apple TV, whether you're sitting in Pennsylvania or London, you get to see it.
You know,
I'd like to think Apple TV aren't thinking ahead.
So go on, Patrice, go on.
Sorry.
Yeah, please. I said Apple TV Plus is not doing it. Like, all the Apple TV Plus content is available. I think Disney Plus most content, I think everything they could that is owned by Disney, and like they don't have contracts in other countries still, they have made available. But like CBS, for example, I mean, they own, as far as I know, most of their content. They could do it. They're just, for whatever reason, deciding not to. Either because they sold the content.
They have a lot of platforms, too, on CBS. It sounds funny when you first get CBS All Access. Like, it comes with a bunch of other stuff that they absolutely own the rights to. But the question is, Patrice, do you know if this bundle is going to come with the commercial version of All Access or the non-commercial version of All Access? Because the non-commercial version is already $9.99. So if they're going to give you the non-commercial version plus Showtime for that same $99, that's kind of a deal, except for I get Showtime for free. So that sucks.
I somehow can't imagine that Apple TV is like Apple TV Plus or Apple is doing any app. Like, somehow, like in the Apple TV app, at least. I mean, if it was in their own app, maybe. But in the Apple TV app, I somehow can't imagine that.
I've never worked out why America loved For All Mankind. Because you make a TV show about America losing the space race, I'd have got all rednecks that there are out there going, hell no! They're Rosky's buds! And it would just be, complete jingoism. But maybe it's just because of the fact they've created a new way to retell the story so that America win again.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But it wasn't the most popular show on Apple TV Plus.
I really enjoyed it. I think it's a brilliant show, but I keep looking at the, why would you make this? Why would you make this? I don't understand.
I think that's a trend. Like, alternative history has been a little bit of a trend in recent years. I mean, there was the...
Man in the High Castle thing. Yeah.
So I think that's why.
I wonder how many vets are sitting watching Man in the High Castle going, hell no!
I don't go hell no because I'm not that old, but I like Man in High Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what was it? What was it like when JFK gave you Congressional Medal of Honor, Doc?
Listen, buddy, I am like 3-4 weeks maybe older than you. Relax.
Yeah, you know your army gives out a Purple Heart for cutting it for a shaving cut, right?
No, because I have two surgically replaced knees at this point. They ain't gave me jack.
The shaving cut in a war zone gets you a medal. If you're a vet, by the way, and you want to write in and complain, don't. That's called a joke. It's not serious. I don't actually mean it.
You know, what's
although
funny
I used,
about
although
that
I used
is,
to do a lot of filming for the army, and they always kicked your asses at maneuvers. Yeah.
But the funniest thing about that is I always go into these sites where all these people are saying like all kinds of these things about don't do this because it's disrespectful to our vets, whatever. And I'm like, bro, we're the ones that actually went to go fight. We don't need you to protect us. Shut up. Let us. We don't care. We fought so that people can say stupid crap whenever they want to.
There's a little exchange that Windrider's having in the chat room by himself because we haven't referenced it. Since updating my iPad to iOS 13.6.1, I can't get the Apple Pencil charged to work. It connects but doesn't register as a touch device. I've actually got an Adonit Note Plus stylus that works just fine. Ha, why is that? And then he's put down, oh, it's easy. The Apple Pencil was the problem. The tip had partially unscrewed off. It's okay now.
stop touching it, Windrider.
Well done, Pete. Huzzah, mate. That's tech support for you right there. Screw it off and back on again.
That's the power of BTN, just being in the chat room.
Just think, you could have sent that all the way from Australia to IMN Max for them to screw it on for you and charge you $400 for the carriage. US American dollars, but not American dollars, Australian dollars, right? So that's like 80 pence. That's cool. Apple shipped 15 million phones in the US in Q2, domestic record apparently. And we are definitely going to get a new iPhone 12 this year, but it's looking like it's going to be pushed back to October, and the speculation is going to be a specialist event for it. Apple's confirmed that there is going to be 12s launched this year, but outside of the normal September time frame. But they're talking about there being a watch and iPad event in September, which I'm presuming then is delayed a little bit, perhaps. And then it's going to... Uh, Joe's put free shipping within the UK, Ewan. Yes, but pizza in Australia, mate. Sorry. Yeah, so there we go. Are we getting an iPhone 12 this year, chaps? And are we getting a new watch and iPad thing in September? If you're just going to go yes, then we'll go on to the next story. But I totally get it.
Next story.
Yes.
Next story. Yeah. No, I mean, Tim Cook said iPhone is delayed. So it's like, I mean, this is a non-story. I mean, the question is, I think,
thanks,
this rumor, they're saying there is an event in, or, well, they're not saying there's an event in September. They're just saying Apple Watch and iPad are going to come out in September, and then there will be an iPhone event in October, and I don't believe that. I don't think Apple would do like a,
you don't think they're going to split it
just for Apple,
so you think they're going to do one event, but then they're going to say but it's not coming next week.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would think. Like, they've done that in the past, like the iPhone 10, they did that. They've done it before where they said, okay, I don't know, they're like, it's coming out a little bit later, or they're saying, hey, I don't know, this model comes now, like you can get next week, and then the next one you can get next month. They've done that in the past. Like, I don't know, I mean, if I had to guess, I would say the iPhone 12 will ship right away, and the 12 Pro will ship like whatever, a month later.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that helps for the people on the cycles, like, mm-hmm. You do your Apple upgrade program, or the one from your carrier. Because the other pros were late, then they have to kind of keep them late. Otherwise, their cycles are off by 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It made sense in my head. I swear to you. Dang it, Ewan. Sit your butt back down. Where'd you go?
I'm just laughing over the other side of the room while I got myself a beer.
Oh, this guy. If I have a beer this early in the morning, it would just horrible. Anyway, if you have it's an expensive device, right? And so if you're on one of those impact plans, or I forgot what T-Mobile calls it, or AT&T calls it, Up Next, mm-hmm. or whatever, your cycle mm-hmm. will always be off by 2 weeks, which can put you into the danger of being in the sold out category or hard to get mm-hmm. category, because we got delayed on I can't even remember.
It was the 10.
Remember itself. Was it the 10, Patrice? Fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 10 itself was delayed by a month, I think. That came out in November. I think November.
Because I remembered didn't they announce the 8 and the X sort of simultaneously, but the 8 came out immediately and the X was delayed.
That's what it is. Thank you, Callum. Yeah. Leave it to the young chap to have the good memory.
I've just put a beer into the microphone and Joe's, but we fix liquid damage too. And I was just about to point out, fellas, that the whole point of this show is not necessarily when you finish talking, it's when the people listening have finished listening. So that just went a little bit too geek.
The idea of an Apple event in September just for the iPad and Apple Watch, I don't think those devices are big enough for Apple that they would have a special event. There is one asterisk to that I could come up with. They said they're going to ship the first ARM Max. They could do an event for that and then just tack on the Apple Watch and the iPad. And simply do a flip, what they would usually do, where they have the iPhone event in September and then maybe sometimes they have a Mac event if something big enough happens in October, and just flip that and simply say,
That would irritate the crap out of me, because I just sent them 3,500 bones for a 10 core with the 5700 XT 16 gigs, like lace 10 gig Ethernet, whole 9 yards. And that's back ordered until.
Sorry, Doc, have you got that spec in English?
Yeah. I just ordered an iMac Pro that's silver. Let's put it that way. Anyway, but it's backordered until September 12th. So, like, it's literally not going to show up until my birthday. And if they were to, like, a month later say, okay, here's the ARM versions, I will freaking rip limbs. There's no way they're going to do it that quick.
Well, I don't think they're going to do an ARM version of the iMac. That would make no sense at all right now.
Okay. I thought you said iMac. You just said ARM version of Macs. Okay, that's acceptable. Yeah, I thought you said iMac.
They have said that they're going to ship ARM Macs later this year. So it's like not completely impossible.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the first one will be the Mini because it already exists.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like a MacBook and a Mini or something like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I would have expected that in October or November, like before Thanksgiving, basically. But I don't know if they're ready. Why not? Like, they could ship it like early, or at least
we got an ARM-based chunk. Look at them blinking right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, I don't hear anybody talking about the one big kind of elephant in the room here again.
I'll talk about you and like that,
Apple? What's an Apple about going to look like?
Thanks.
Sorry, Chuck.
Down, boy, down. We did not have an event for WWDC's keynote. So is this just going to be a completely virtual thing? I mean, because they're certainly not going to pull in press for this. So the event, in my mind, can be anything they want, anytime they want, pretty much with the snap of a finger.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's why this is cool, Chuck. You just made me think of something that I think is cool. I would love to Apple to do a combination of what NBA did mixed with EPL did. What EPL did was they had the fans buy seat covers that had your map printed on the front, so they would pull it over the seat so it looks like you're sitting in the seat, but you're not there. It was like a jacket, like a full-on seat cover with your face on it, and you'd have on your Manchester kit or whatever. And then what the NBA did is they put up 108-inch Samsung screens, and you zoom in, and so they have like, you know, the high-profile Celtics fans are like all zoomed in into the, you know, the two halves of the court, and then you'll have like the, you know, the Detroit Piston guys on the other side kind of thing, right? So what I think Apple could do that not a lot of people could do because they actually have the devices is to put an iPad Pro in every seat of the theater and then have like a lottery or a raffle that developers can basically FaceTime in to where they would sit. And you really have everyone in the room, but it's all devices like the senators in a Star Trek.
I have a better idea. The Oprah show that I picked last week, they had, it looked like the Pro displays, but they had them like vertically. They could do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot of Pro displays, bro.
Well, Apple couldn't put like a couple thousand Pro displays in a like theater.
Yeah, and then sell them after for a special thing with some kind of like fundraiser. You know, you can get a Pro display for 30% off or 20% off or whatever.
Yeah,
and you know, money goes to charity kind of thing. That would be epic. That would be super epic. Yeah, so I think an event, a virtual event with FaceTimes in the seats would be actually kind of rad. Mm-hmm.
My football club, Birmingham, did it with the seats, and a fan, which I thought was very, very clever, sent a picture of himself in with his head already in his hands because he knew what was coming.
Oh, that's funny.
Really very Joe funny.
Said they only sold 45 seats.
Yeah.
That's funny. But I think Chuck is right. I mean, given how well the WWDC keynote went, and given that, I mean, the standard like keynotes that Apple does are small anyway and are less dense, less information, they could literally, I can see two things. Like either they do like a similar event where they just drop like a video and it's like high quality, like the dub video thing, or they could do what they did, I think, like a year or two ago where they had like a bunch of YouTubers and other press people come in and do their reviews. Or not even come in. They like bit them, and it just drops this way. Like the iPad and the Apple Watch could totally drop with like just a bunch of like press people reviewing them.
Cool.
Yeah, you don't need it. I mean, you know, let's face it. The whole get together thing right now, and I think this is going to affect things as we go forward too. That it's great to get everybody together and get that buzz, but I'm not sure they can't create a different kind of buzz, maybe a different level of buzz, but the same kind by doing a virtual event. I mean, what would happen if they announced while we're on the show here that, hey, we're going to have a virtual event Tuesday and, you know, everybody's
invited. Here Tuesday.
you're going to tune in Tuesday to see what's going on, of course. Yeah. And not just the journalists, but everybody.
Yeah.
They could announce that on Tuesday morning and do it on Thursday, like afternoon.
Sure.
Or like Monday night into a Tuesday morning. Like, totally.
Absolutely. And think about it, because now, with all due respect to all of our friends in the official press, you know, now Apple once again gets to control the narrative completely, because it doesn't have to pass through all those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Now, normally,
I got a question real fast. This is Shorty. It's almost a big question, a Big Show question, but almost how far are we from where we're just like, you know, have the holographic Tupac, but it's a holographic Tim Cook just like chilling in the living room? Well, you not, just got to spray a mister and let
not,
it play.
He's not dead yet, mate.
No, I know that. I don't mean like that kind of Tupac, but I mean...
No, but what I'm
like,
saying is...
You can watch the keynote, but there's like a little Apple device, like an Apple TV. You sat in the middle of the floor, you spray the mister, and then you can watch it as he's pacing across the stage.
Yeah, right.
He's
pacing let's spend $500 million so we can generate a holographic Tim Cook, when actually we could pick up and go, Tim, what are you doing Tuesday, dude?
Yeah.
I meant so you can have it in your house, the experience of it moving around in the house.
I don't want Tim Cook in my house.
About 2 years. We've heard about the AR glasses.
Thank you, Patrice, for the right answer.
Supposedly coming in 2 years. So.
Okay, that's the answer. Because this pandemic would have been ripe for stuff like that. Well, actually, no, because that person in the office you want to slap, you'd be like swinging at the thing in your room.
Well, you can't slap Tim Cook because he's a hologram. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This comment coming from the guy who's being haunted by a Hawaiian ghost. You know.
For the indiscretions of the aisle.
Don't say that joke.
Normally at this point,
another cook.
I've tried now three times to do this, but normally at this point, I do this podcast is, and I'm not going to see it this time. What I'd like you to do is a public service thing. So here in Birmingham, there's a wonderful charity called Free at Last, and it takes Nichols is one of the worst. It's a hugely disadvantaged area of Birmingham. There's some of the worst poverty there that you can possibly imagine. I spent most of the summer there helping out in the food kitchen, getting food to people, and it was a great experience. I really have loved being there. It's run by a guy called John Street and his wife Jan, and they are just selfless, wonderful people who would do anything, just take every penny they've got and pour it back into charity. I don't want you to necessarily send money to them. If you want to do that, that's fine. They're at Free at Last, and you can go to info@freeatlast.st to do that. But they're a charity here in Birmingham. They've changed kids' lives. There's a lady there named Naomi who won the Prince's Trust Ambassador of the Year Award. They have really changed people's lives. What I would like you to do, please, if you can, is go to smile.amazon.co.uk or .com and search for Free at Last as the charity, and then when you buy anything from Amazon, please make sure that you're at the Smile page, and then they will get an amount of money to support that charity from BTN listeners. And if you do sign up for Smile at Amazon at Free at Last, I want you to send them a message on Twitter that says, thanks to At British Tech, I've just signed up to Free at Last on smile.amazon.co.uk. So just do that for me. It doesn't cost you a penny more to order anything, but they will get some money from that, and they will become a far bigger and better charity than they already are. And they're all incredibly amazing. I love them to bits. I'll do anything for that group. TSO Hosts as well. They're a great bunch of people. They look after us. If you'd like anything that's hosting-based, then go to them clearly. But that's not what they want from us. They want brand recognition. You have got to. If you love BTN, you have got to get out there on the Twitters and the socials and say thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech. That's what they want from us. If you do order hosting stuff from them, and a lot of people have, then get yourself over to them and use the offer code BTN20 and tell them that you've done it. Tell them that you converted everything you've got over to TSO Hosts, because they would love that. They've been really kind to us. They give us servers and time and space and bandwidth, and we'd be lost without them. So please make sure you support our sponsors, because we are struggling if we do not. We'll just go off the air. I know we've been a bit patchy with the Big Show and stuff like that. There's no Big Show this week. It's just a work scheduling thing and a timing thing. And the other people are iMend Max. We've got Callum, who's been here all week, giving us his opinion, all day, giving his opinion, and Joe, who's been giving his opinion on Birmingham City in the chat room as well as. And they do amazing work with Apple. Effectively, if you've got anything with an Apple device on, they can fix it. And if you go to Apple and it's going to be fixed under warranty, yeah, go to Apple. Don't go to iMend Max. But if you're saying you've got a device which is out of warranty, if you're saying you've got a device that is a legacy device that Apple won't even touch, then get in touch with iMend Max. The chances are they can probably repair it cheaper, Instead of saying brand new logic board, here you go, they'll probably have a look at the logic board under a microscope and realize that a small solder may solve the problem, and it will cost you significantly less as a result of that. They are desperately trying to recover some data for me at the moment for my landlord. It's not looking good, but it's a very old spinning drive, and I'm not surprised. But they'll do data recovery as well as, and we always ask them for a machine of the week. And Callum, have you got a machine of the week?
I do have a machine of the week. So we've got an older 13-inch MacBook Pro at the moment from 2013, I think it is. Really kind of perfect for kind of homework for kids and stuff like that. It can still go up to Catalina, so it's still going to have quite a bit of life left in it for a long time. We're selling that for £650, so much cheaper than anything you can get from the Apple Store for a Pro, at least, anyway. So.
Excellent, mate. Good one. Yeah. Nice stuff. Now, did you see Magic Man's thing? He wants a 27-inch screen.
Yes, I have got back to him. I think he's actually just messaged me in the Slack room. And also, Howard's got a broken iMac as well. So
excellent.
She's been, been in touch.
Quite a lot of you have already had your devices fixed by iMinMax.
Mm-hmm.
And Righty yesterday decided to put pen to paper and tell us all about his experience with them. And I have to say, mate, it's did you buy him dinner or something? Because
I just changed a charger port on an iPad Air.
Yeah, so he basically, I'll try and read some of what he said. He said, my wife had an original iPad Air, which in terms of revisions is still a pretty decent tablet. Problem was she used a cheap lightning cable in it, and it fell apart inside the port. We had many unsuccessful attempts to remove the debris, but we managed to short the connection so it wouldn't charge anymore. So it threw it on a pile of defunct devices and forgot about iMen Max. Then sent it from Norwich to Callum, who then... took it and placed the recharging port, you say, dude? Brand new charging port.
Yeah, brand new charging port. So on those ones in particular, it's actually a piece of soldering work. So it had to go under the microscope, remove the old one and solder the new one on. It's about a quarter of a mil each pad and that sort of thing. So changed all that for him, works perfectly, and it's running like it's brand new.
So. Which is kind of what he said at the end of the blog post. So there you go. It definitely works, and it's definitely worth having. Excellent. Thank you, Righty, for writing that. And thanks to iMenMax for supporting the network. We are lost. Get yourself on the socials. Thanks at iMenMax for supporting At British Tech. We need that recognition on the socials. Make sure you do it, please. Time for the cool things. Take us away. Doctorus.
Okay, Rocturus. Cool. I will... send you a link. So I'm just sending you a link to the video, because in the video I go into much better explanations and detail and give you much more options, but one that I'll have you look at for the purposes of the show, I'll give you one of the several, and it's called Pexels, and it's pixels misspelled with the first E. And this site is quite amazing. I think that minus the cheesy stuff that you would find on iStock Photo or Shutterstock, this is where, you know, your up-and-coming photographers, or even photographers, you know, someone like yourself or Ian, you did a shoot while you were out, you clipped some stuff on the side, and then you didn't really sell it to the client, but, you know, you were testing your camera and go, oh, this is a pretty good image. You could throw it up there and somebody will buy it, and then you'll get, you know, get paid. But majority of this stuff is free, and the licensing is incredible because it's even applicable for commercial use. With all the services that are in my video, if you go to my YouTube channel and you watch the video that's in the chat links, I will tell you, always double check the licenses, because there are very special situations where you can't. But for Pexels in general, like, it says, you know, no attribution is required. Giving to the credit photographer is preferred, but it's not necessary. It's always appreciated. But they have fantastic images. They have video clips. Yeah, and the quality stuff is really, really good. Like, you find some pretty decent photography here. So I see people now, especially more than ever, your social media game is very important. You're doing, like what I'm doing, live streams and stuff like that. You need some B-roll to spice up your A-roll. Or maybe you just don't have any A roll. You just want to put B roll together and do your talking points on there just so you don't bore people at the meeting to death. Check out pexels.com. Get yourself some photos and videos to add to your soliloquy so it adds a little bit of spice. And my first pick that is not going to cost you a thing.
Wow. Yeah, no dock units. Unsplash.com says Joe as well.
Yeah, that's another one to that's, add. It's on the list too. I was going to paste it in here, but I picked Pexels because they have photo and video, but Unsplash is also part of that video that I posted from my YouTube channel. So, and shameless plug, I'm like 140 people away from hitting 5,000. So subscribe, please.
Nice. What happens at 5,000? You get a thumb or something? Or?
I become an Opal creator. I don't get anything good until you hit 10,000.
Nothing to hang on the door.
Yeah, nothing to hang on the door. I can make my own, though. I didn't think about that. I should make my own and like wrap it in tin foil.
You should make your own, send it to YouTube and get the contract to make all the ones to go to other people.
Yeah, because I can make mine better than what they
I
send
don't want
out
the notoriety. Ever. I want the Jacksons, man.
Do that. I prefer Benjamins. Jackson was a racist.
Yeah, but you're talking, you're never going to get, you'll take his money, though.
Yeah. I'm joking.
There wasn't anyone who wasn't a racist back then.
You mean back then?
Back this when Jackson. Back then, back when you started. The birth of the nation. A nation founded by racists.
Yes.
Unfortunately, but you're reaping the benefits now.
Yeah, I get to hang out with you lot.
Yeah, too right, man. Put up with the odd racist from 300 years ago.
Yeah.
Love you, brother. Thanks, right.
Fam.
No, that's not them. It's who's next? You've got to come in on line one next week, Callum. I can't be doing this line five stuff. Callum, what have you got for us, mate?
I was just doing as I was told. But no. Anyway. This week, I've got a program called AnyTrans. So it's part of Setup. And basically, the way I found it was yesterday, I needed to transfer some data from one iPod to another. I tried to do it in Finder. I'll be honest, I probably could have worked out how to do it, but it wasn't very immediate to me. So I do what I do with most software problems I have now, go straight onto Setup and find out what app they've got for it. They will have an app for it. You've just got to find out which one it is. And it's this. If you want to buy it outright, it's I think £35 or $40. It's a really neat way to move around iOS data, make backups, explore backups. It's available for Windows and Mac. It's just really good, really so user-friendly.
That's
and
the equivalent I could, of 4 months of Setup subscription.
Yeah. Well, to get one app, exactly.
Superb.
Yeah, I plugged the iPod in, and there was just a big button saying, make a backup, press that button, plug the other one in, put the backup on, all using the app. Really easy to use, and saved me messing about with a Finder for probably would have been an hour. So,
excellent, mate.
Really good.
Finder's crap. God, Finder's crap.
Especially if you're doing iOS work, it's really, really crap.
And if you sign up for iOS on Setup, WinRider says you get two trans apps, one for iOS and one for Android as well.
Yes, there is one for Android as well. Yeah. I didn't want to mention that on the Mac show, though. But yeah.
No, it's okay. There's some disloyal people. Patrice, what have you got for us? Mate, you are not allowed. Bags are not allowed.
Well, it's not
even a handbag. I'd still buy it. I got a bag problem, mate. That's
me too. Holy goodness.
You're not allowed to put Amazon links to bags or Amazon links to alcohol because I'll just buy them.
You should buy them for your wife then.
No, anyway, stuff her. She can buy her own sodding bags. I want my bags.
Free one-day shipping in the UK, Ewan.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's like between 20 and 25 pounds. So, it's something... probably more for women. I mean, anybody can...
Bag's a bag,
like,
dude.
There's no... like, bags don't have a gender. So
it's not how it looks. It's how you wear it.
Exactly. Anyway, like, I was looking for a larger shoulder bag that I could use to work because I have a shoulder bag from Rickshaw, actually. But like the laptop doesn't fit in it, so I was always carrying like my shoulder bag and then a laptop bag, like a small thing. And that was really annoying, and like especially when you're taking public transport and like you always have like something in your hand, so it was really annoying. So I went on a hunt for something that was, one, not too expensive. I didn't want to spend like $300 for a bag. Was functional and especially big enough to like hold like a MacBook, like my lunch, my iPad, phones, chargers, cables, like everything you need. And I found this Crozer laptop bag that has one really good reviews, even like outside of Amazon. And it's not really not expensive. Like it's $22 to $26, I think, according to this pounds. It is big enough, more than big enough for a 16-inch MacBook Pro or 16-inch. It is more than big enough for obviously an iPad and so on. And like I can get everything in there. Style-wise, it's okay. It's well made. It has a zipper. So you can, like, even if it's raining, you can just close it and it's, like, safe, which is really important. So, yeah, it's just a really, really good bag. It comes with, like, a little pouch thingy that I just used for all the cables, like all the adapters and whatever, which was a nice plus. And I said, for £26, you can barely go wrong. And it has a lot of, like, I've looked internationally, it has a lot of really good reviews as well.
Now, going on my own personal history and knowing my own mother and my wife, a woman's ability to turn a bag into anything that can hold even a stepladder as well is an innate thing. Does that apply to you as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean,
you can get any shit in a bag that you choose. Yeah. Good.
Like, I mean, it's all in there. Like a stepladder, like
Kitchen
whatever
sink,
you just need, like a boat.
Cuddly toy, fondue set.
Spare car.
Totally.
Yeah. Excellent, mate. Like that.
This bag
is big enough for your stepladder.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
There may have been an exaggeration.
Yeah, a little bit.
don't sue us. Chuck, what have you got for us, dude?
This is a little out of character for me, I have to admit. I've seen this at the last three CESs. I've interviewed them. And it's one of those products I just never got around to
now, getting. Now, you do realize if Jeff was on here and said, I've got a product that's a little bit out of character for me, I saw it at CES, I would probably have to cut the feed right now.
I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't blame. In fact, I wouldn't blame if you cut it on me either. But
no, go for it. Come on, I want to see this. This is good.
Yeah. So, the reason I got this is because last week for just one day there was a pretty good discount on it, and it's like, okay, I want to play with these things. The NanoLeaf light panels. I got the canvas model. There are several different geographic designs of models they have, and they came, and I'm having a ball with these. They don't do anything productive, which is really out of character, as I said, for me, but you can arrange them, hook them together in designs. You can program them to, you know, show different colors. They can respond to music if you want, or you can just use them as a really nice uniform light source. So I have not mounted them on the walls yet, simply because they're on my dining room table because I keep playing with configurations. It's like, okay, I wonder if this one will work. I like this. So, I'll warn you, they're not inexpensive, but they are very, very cool. And you can add more onto them. The pack that I got was 9 light panels, including the one that powers everything. And you can add, I think the expansion packs are 4 panels each. And you can sink a lot of money into these, but I got to tell you, they are just a lot of fun so far. They also are touch sensitive. So like if I mount them on the wall and turn on the touch sensitivity, I can just swipe my finger across it. And, you know, the light will follow your finger, you know, across real quick. Oh. So many different things they've done with this that I really like. So I'm looking for a productivity aspect of it, and then I'll feel better. But at the moment, I'm just having a good time with these, playing with them, and I would tell anybody to go and give them a try.
Dude, you don't need any justification for spending money on tech. Come on.
Well, you know,
Chuck?
What, Doc?
I got you. There's IFTTTT scripts and several others on GitHub that you can find that will take something like, if I get an email from Callum, make my NanoLeaf like right behind me in my vision or right in front of me do this particular thing, right? If the Red Sox is game is getting ready to start, all the Nano Leafs will wash red for a second. And then I know, or if it's going to rain or if it's going to snow, so you can actually do something geeky techie with it. So you can make it actually valuable, like a VIP content client sends an email. You could have your Nano Leafs do a little dance for a second so that you remember to go and answer that email. So, yes, that's you can perfect. Do geeky stuff.
Are you seeing the thing that's I'm showing perfect. Here? The flame on the TV?
Yeah, the ambient TV type
Holy
stuff.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's it. There's a Nano Leaf group on Facebook, and, I mean, some of these people are crazy. You got to go there and see some of – it's a private group, so you have to join. But, that's kind of why mine are not mounted yet, because I keep looking at the different things they've done. It's like, hey, I really like that. So, yeah, these are a blast. They really are.
You just put me onto something that I didn't think about before, but I think I might try and I might need to book Patrice to help me figure this out. But in the live stream game, one of the important things is to give credit to the people that give you your super chats. Your super chats are your like real-time Patreon, so to speak, right? So it'd be super cool to put it right back there on the door, right? And then when someone were to give a super chat, that the thing would go because what that creates is hey, I want to do that, and then another person will super chat, and then another person will super chat. So like the users can control the lights by poignant comment or donations to the channel.
Why don't you, Doc, get Patrice to write a script for you so that they act as an alarm clock, right? So you put them next to your bed, and then they slowly get brighter and brighter and brighter until it's time to wake up, especially when it's time to come and do the Mac show. And Patrice, when you write the script, can you frig it by 20 minutes?
Listen, the alarm clock goes off, but it takes a lot of energy to move 54 years of like 18 stones across the room at that early. It takes time.
18 stones? Really?
I was just making up a number because I don't know the translation. I just know it's fat.
Yeah,
why do
you
probably keep
not
stones in
me.
Your pocket when you're sleeping? That's weird.
Oh.
What did you say?
Why do you keep stones in your pocket?
Oh, keep you warm. You heat them up first, and you put them in your pocket.
He warms them on the argument from his wife the night before.
Hey, but you know what? That is, thank you, because that's something I did want to mention just in case anybody wonders. These are obviously LEDs, so they don't even get warm. They might get just a little warmer than the wall, but they don't get warm. So you can mount these things
Chuck, why don't you do an IFTT so that they flash every time you hit a good shot with that one iron? So that'll save the battery then.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh God!
And we started the show with golf. And we ended the show with golf.
No, we're not ending the show with golf. My cool thing is, and I'm going to mention this because I absolutely adore it. After last week's show, I borrowed a fan, and it was pretty noisy, I have to say. And I do thanks for no one writing in and complaining about the audio like they normally do. So I went online actually just before we started the show. I've got to get my own fan. I've got to get something that'll cool me down a bit. And I bought this. This is the Eris Oyama Silent Oscillating Ultra Power Fan with remote control. So it comes with a remote control. And what makes it cool is because normally where you've got flat sides to the fan, you get like a rotor whop as everything passes by the flat surface. So you get an echo of the air going outwards and then coming back in and whopping against the fans. That's where the noise comes from. This thing has been running on power 3 all through the show, and you haven't heard it, have you?
Nope.
So if I turn it up...
Yeah, right. Now we can hear it.
Yeah, that's full power. And that's really quite pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So that is brilliant. It's also got an oscillation, which is... two-dimensional, so it does left to right and it does up and down as well as, and I'll just try and show you the video is quite pleasant actually. It's well made. A fan so small. So the whole thing is about the size of a bowling ball, about 8 to 10 inches across, and it's got specially designed rotors, it says, which are quiet, which is good. It reckons that it can send air 82 feet at full power, which is good. I stick it over there by the window, but it does two-dimensional rotation, left and right and up and down as well as. And it's good. It's really good. £60 is the total price, and it's well worth the money. It's also got a timer on it as well, so you can set it and get it to switch off. And if you put it in a smart plug, then you can leave it switched on and it will come on with the smart plug. Get things moving early. I love it. I absolutely adore it. It's the best purchase I've made this year, I think.
Cool.
That is very cool.
And they have a tall one too.
They got one on a stand. They haven't got any. The thing that's, it's got a flat base to it, but they haven't got anything where you can, whether you can stick a, like, you know, like mount it on the wall or anything like that. It's only a flat surface thing. But I've got a pole over here, and I think what I'm going to do is manufacture a little table that will sit on the pole, and then it will just blow over me while we're doing the show. It's good. I really like it. It's well worth the purchase. £60.
It's funny how these fans get like that, because I remember when Vornado came out, it seemed like it was so dumb and it was such a waste because it was very expensive for what we thought was a fan. But just for a couple of tweaks in the design and tilt the blades a certain way, like Vornados are, and the Dyson fans are amazing, but they're just crazy expensive. Yeah, so this Dyson's is cool because it's cheap.
I had a bad experience with the Dyson vacuum, and I swore I'd never buy James Dyson again. Not happening. And I haven't. I've stood away from Dyson. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
Go at home to shamelessly vacuum my floor with a Dyson. You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK and primarily on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/DocRock.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming as always. Really appreciate it. Callum, where would you be?
Yeah, you can get hold of us and everything we do at imnmax.com and all the usual socials at imnmax as well. Drop us an email at info@imnmax if you've got any questions. I'm in the Slack room, and you can get me on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. More than happy for anyone to reach out. And a huge thank you to BTN and Loyalty for the very, very lovely words we had. It was awesome. a lovely surprise a couple of days ago. So.
Yeah, and that makes it all worthwhile when someone says well done, isn't it?
Honestly, it's, you know, especially at this kind of difficult time, it's nice. It's nice to see some love going around. So, really, really good to see. Thank you.
Brilliant. Patrice, what about you?
You can find everything I'm doing and all the socials on thepatrice.com, and you can also find my lovely podcast where I still have to post and actually edit the next episode. Sorry about that, Callum. I have to post that at foodieflashback.com, and then I have to schedule the next ones. I've been too busy.
I've just remembered I've got two photo shows to post. Oops.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. Like, you just, like...
Sorry, Martin. Sorry, Ian. Sorry, Damien. Callum, Callum? No. Jesus. Chuck, where are you?
You can get a hold of us and everything.
The best place to find me is macvoices.com, and you can find me on Twitter as @ChuckJoiner. And as always, this is an insane group that I love being part of. Thanks, Ewan.
Mate, we love having you. Come anytime you like. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can find me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech, as well as at IMNMax, at TSO Host, and at Free At Last. We'll all be pleased to hear from you too. We'll see you again next week. Max shows are definite. Big shows are probable because Thursday I'm definitely around. So we'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the sunshine and the stormy weather, because when it clears, it's going to be luscious. We can have a great late September into autumn. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.